Hello and welcome to the Professional Horror Podcast, the only podcast that always parties like it's 1993. I am your host, Boris Karloff Jr., and my guest this week is Sarah David. Sarah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I'm cool. Cool. It's been a while since we've seen each other. But,
like,
you know,
years.
Yeah, but that's the fun of this podcast, bringing people together. That's what we're here for. As always, I am Chris Donovan, the host of this here podcast. And for those who are wondering, hey, last time you said we're going to do a best Stephen King adaptations podcast. Where'd that be? It's October. So
it was a lie.
It was a lie. I lie to you guys on the reg. So it'll be in November or December. Don't brush me, man. Today, we're talking, if my intro clues didn't clue you in, we're talking about the 1993 film Hocus Pocus today. Woo! Exciting. But first... God damn it. But first, so we always start off with First Blood, which is a segment that I always forget to tell my co-hosts, my guests about until the last minute. First Blood is where we get to know our guests a little bit, let you know what kind of horror fans we are, so that you know what perspective we view horror movies with. So Sarah, what is your favorite horror movie and your favorite subgenre of horror movies?
My favorite horror movie of all time that I watch every single Halloween without fail is Halloween, the first one, the original John Carpenter. I love slasher movies.
Yes.
I don't know why. Something about them. It's like, I just can't get enough of them. I love seeing people.
You know, this is a weird thing I'm going to segue into, but I listened to this on an episode of Boys and Ghouls, which will be referenced a few times because they're great. For some reason, women who are fans of horror are statistically more likely to like true crime and like slashes and stuff like that.
Really?
And one of the theories is because women, unfortunately, in this horrible society, are more likely to become victims of it. So a lot of times they're like, we're going to know what we're getting into.
I'm like, that will never be me.
Yeah, I'm not going to fall for that kind of thing, which it's a little fun, little horrible thing about our world. If this is your first episode, so my favorite horror movie of all time is 1984's A Nightmare on Elm Street, directed by Wes Craven and starring Robert Englund and Heather Langenkamp, my two favorite people on the planet. And my favorite subgenre are slashers and creature features. I love my sci-fi original crappy movies.
I was going to say, I can't say I'm too into the sci-fi. I don't know if I've really given the creature features a chance. Maybe you can recommend some to me. Watch.
I've got a few. There are a lot of bad ones, and there's a lot of really hilariously bad ones, and then there's some good ones.
I can go for the hilariously bad ones.
Sci-fi original's always been good to me for that. So we're going to talk about Hocus Pocus, which is, the 1993 Disney film, directed by Kenny Ortega, and starring, I'm going to pronounce one of these names wrong, starring Bette Midler, Kathy Najimy, and Sarah Jessica Parker as the Sanderson sisters, and Omri Katz, Thora Birch, and Vanessa Shaw as Max, Denny, and Allison, respectively. It is currently sitting at 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb and 30% on Rotten Tomatoes.
30%?
30.
Come on.
That's a crying shame.
Hard to believe.
Because this movie is a lot of fun. Apparently, Leonardo DiCaprio auditioned for Hocus Pocus, which would have been.
I actually read that today, and I was.
Which would have been great. Probably would have been pretty good. The critical consensus on Rotten Tomatoes is harmlessly hokey, yet never much more than mediocre. Hocus Pocus is a muddled, family friendly effort that fails to live up to the talents of its impressive cast.
Shut up, Rotten Tomatoes.
Ow. So, since we've already given you guys a taste of our initial thoughts of the movie, Sarah, what are your initial thoughts of Hocus Pocus?
Initial thoughts, love it.
It's great.
It's just that movie that I've watched every single year. Always comes on the Disney Channel. Always on 13 Nights of Halloween. Loved it when I was a kid. Have to say, rewatching it as an adult, you notice a lot more things.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually watched it recently with an adult friend of mine who has never seen it before. And he kind of opened my eyes to a lot of stuff that I missed. And now that he did, I cannot
unsee
them.
Yep.
So it kind of changed it a little bit.
For those who don't know, which is probably a few people listening to this podcast, I went to school for writing for TV and film, which is like, you know, film school, stuff like that. And I always tell people it kind of ruins movies for me because I can't help but watch them with a critical lens over my eye. I have to like turn my brain off sometimes. When I watch movies that I loved as a kid, again, a lot of times I'm like, oh, but there's that problem. Oh, why does that character do that? A lot of people, especially, they hate when I bring up Space Jam because I tell people it's not a good movie.
Don't ruin that for me.
And everyone's like, what are you talking about? It's a great movie. I'm like, guys, watch it again. It's not a great movie.
I have to say, though, I have not seen that in at least, like,
no. 7 years. There are some movies I won't watch because I don't want to tarnish the memories.
Yep.
They're too good. They're too precious to me. Hocus Pocus, though, I will say, initial thoughts, even though there are a lot of things, like you said, that I'm like, that's weird. Why do they do that? I still think overall it's really enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. It's not like a serious horror movie.
Yeah, and you have to have that in mind when yeah. you're watching it.
Like, it's like a kid's movie.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be scary. It's not supposed to make sense. None yeah. of it makes sense. Like, obviously, it's yeah. not going to happen in real life, so.
And yeah. honestly, there's not a whole lot of really good witch horror movies, and this is one of the few. No.
Yeah, and
so we got to cherish it for that reason, too.
And I love witch movies. And when you said my favorite horror movies, I wanted to say ones that involve witches, but I can mm-hmm. only think of one, which is The Craft, which is one of my favorite movies.
Craft's fun, yeah.
But I was like, are there even any other ones There's, out there that I can name or that I've seen?
I don't know. The last one I can think of is The Witch that came out, or Witch, the one with the two Vs as the W. I saw the first 30 minutes on Amazon Prime when I had an Amazon Prime account. And then yeah. I was like, it's 4 a.m. and I'm kind of bored. I'll finish it later. And then my Prime account ran out and then I didn't watch it. I heard it's really good, but really? It's a very dramatic movie. It's very, not Oscar-worthy, but as Oscar-worthy as horror movies go. So it's very, like, in-depth, I guess.
One thing I like about witch movies in general is just, like, the different styles of witches that are portrayed. Like, the Hocus Pocus witches. And they're so over the top.
Yes.
And they're pure evil. And they're shooting, like, electric shocks out of their fingers.
Yeah.
It's just funny to see, like, what characteristics they've chosen to give to them. Like, they fly brooms. They don't have wands. They don't wear the pointy hats. Like,
they really have a lot of fun with the witch mythology in this movie, I feel like. With, we're going to get to this later, but the scene where the brooms get stolen and one of them has to have the vacuum as a broom. It's great.
I love that. Actually, I'm being Sarah Sanderson this year for Halloween tomorrow for costume party.
Yes.
And I still think I should maybe bring a mop with me. I haven't decided yet, but I'm like, I don't know who would get it. If you've seen the movie, you would get it.
Probably. I saw all those costumes at like Party City and stuff this year. Yeah. I was like, yes.
Yep.
I feel like that's the first time I've ever seen those costumes at like party stores.
Yeah, they had all of them.
And also, this, if you follow bloodydisgusting.com, there's some talk, there's some rumbles of a sequel, but then they also said rumbles of a remake. Which,
I heard remake, which made me nervous.
Well, I heard sequel and then I heard remake, and I was like, no, the first one was great.
Yeah, I just read an article about that today, and it was saying that if it was a remake, that Midler wouldn't come back. It would be a whole new cast, and I'm not down.
I'm really not okay with that. Especially because Bette Midler and all the witches, they really want to come back to it. I read a thing where this is Bette Midler's favorite movie that she's done. I'm like, you're going to remake it on her? No. Like, why? She's like the movie to a certain extent.
Sarah Jessica Parker, that may be like the only thing I really know her from. Like, I know she's in Sex and the City, not my type of show.
Right.
So this is like, when I think of her, I think of Hocus Pocus. Right. I like defined her in a way, and a lot of people think of her like that. I think it would be fun if they came back for me.
I would really enjoy them to come back.
Yeah, just
if it's not them, I'm not down. I'm out.
I want the original Denisons there too.
Yeah.
Do a remake.
Some of them still act. Some of them don't act anymore. Yeah, Omri Katz, who played the lead, retired from acting. But I think Thora Birch and Vanessa Shaw still act. Well, let's go dig into this movie. So we start back in 1693 on Halloween in Salem, because witches, Salem, it's just kind of... The few witch movies that do exist, I feel like they all take place around Salem.
Or Salem's at least mentioned.
Salem's at least mentioned. And we have Thackeray Binks and his sister, Emily. Emily gets taken by the three witches. It's weird because they have their witch makeup and their witch wigs, but they also have like age makeup on all of them.
And that's something it's like I double makeup recently, yeah too. It's like, oh, okay, like they're uglier, like in the beginning of the movie on purpose. Haggish.
I don't want to throw any shade, but they're already like pretty up there in age at the beginning of the movie, so it's weird that they're like, we're gonna age them and like they make them young and beautiful and they're still like middle-aged. Except for Sarah Jessica Parker, who was like really young at the time. They cast a spell on Emily to, you know, take her youth, which I always thought was weird about that scene. Is I don't know if they killed her or if they like made her old, if they like stole her youth so she was old, because I think there's one shot where you see where they're messing with Thackeray with like lightning and all that stuff, and her hair looks whiter.
Really?
But they never show it. But it also could be the fact that her hair is blonde, and I'm just, you know.
And she's glowing.
Yeah. With the weird, like, digital effects around her. And they're, like, sucking literally her essence away. But there was one shot where her hair looked really white, and I'm like, so is she old or is she dead? Because we never even talk about her. Yeah. We don't see her. Like, it's not like the parents, like, even, like, discover her or anything or mention that she's dead. They're just like, she's, yep.
All we see is her tombstone, like, at the end of the movie. So.
And we see her ghost spirit.
Yeah, but we don't know where they found her. Yeah. Spoilers from 1993. From 1993,
from a Disney movie. So the Sanderson sisters, they come up with their plot to punish Thackeray. I don't even know why they punish. Is it just because he, like, knocks over their potion?
Well, yeah. Because that was their potion. I was going to keep them alive forever.
And now they can only alive. They're going to be young for, like, the normal time now.
And their witches are evil.
Yeah. So instead of killing him, they decided to turn him into a cat to live forever with his guilt.
His guilt of not saving his sister.
There's a lot of stuff in that first scene and then the first third of the movie that they just, like, throw at you. Like, the book that's alive, but that doesn't really hold any relevance. The black flame candle, which isn't mentioned in the first part for some reason.
Yeah. There's a lot. That. One thing while we're on the topic of when he gets turned into a cat, this is something I noticed recently that really irks me. When they're hanging the witches, Thackeray comes over to his dad and is meowing at his leg. Why didn't he just say, like, hey dad, it's me, I'm Thackeray? Because he can talk in the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And that makes me so mad now. And it was my friend who had never seen it, who the first thing he said was, well, I thought you said the cat could talk. Why didn't he just tell his dad?
Yeah.
Like, that's a great, like, he's ruined my life.
That's a fantastic question. Like, why doesn't Binks talk?
Like, maybe he didn't realize he could talk at that point, but maybe he tried. Like, yeah. How did you figure it out?
What kind of irks me too is, like, I don't want to pick nits with early 90s movie effects because that's low hanging fruit. But I did read a fact that said that they actually got Binks's eye and mouth effects really, like, perfect. But then they thought that'd be too scary for kids, so they, like, made it look more fake. And that makes me angry. Why would you intentionally make your effects worse?
How is a cute talking cat gonna scare children?
I don't know.
It's an evil cat.
I mean, cats are occasionally villains in horror movies, I guess.
Especially the black ones, I guess.
Yeah, like in Pet Sematary, I guess.
Yeah,
but
kids see all the time. Yeah, I can understand why they make that connection. Yeah.
That was like a cable TV fixture in the 90s.
Always,
you know?
On ABC Family.
Plus, they would cable TV like that, I don't think. Jesus. Dating ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just makes me mad that why would you make the effects worse? Because there are some scenes where I'm like, okay, that kind of looks like that cat is talking. And other scenes where I'm like, wow, that's really fake.
Yeah.
The witches, as they're about to be hanged, they make their last spell where they say, whenever a virgin lights the black flame candle during a full moon on Halloween, they will come back to life. Which, I mean, granted, the plot of the movie depends on this.
Yes.
But could you have added more stipulations to your come back to life spell?
Thankfully, they didn't hang them before they could cast a curse.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, let's hear what they have to say.
Yeah, like, why aren't they, like, they're making a spell, stop this now.
Yeah, like, just hang them.
They're like, no, I want to hear the end of this story. Come on.
Yeah.
What do we have to do? I researched for a book I'm writing because I'm so cool all the time.
You are.
I'm so cool.
It gets off that vibe. It's just
radiating off me in waves. But full moons on Halloween don't come around often.
Okay.
They're very, very infrequent. Usually, like, in the lunar calendar, the full moon takes place in the middle of the month. But it's like some, like, 30 years or something in between full moons on Halloween.
I did not know that.
So a virgin lighting a candle on a full moon on Halloween, you're really saying we have, like, 10 chances to get it this century.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Why not just be like,
if anyone lights it ever.
At any point, yeah. Come back.
And I get the magic of Halloween. I love Halloween. It's my favorite time of the year.
Me too.
And I get that, you know, there's some sort of inherent magic about that. But say someone lights it on Halloween. There you go.
Exactly.
But then we wouldn't have the movie, and that's the real, that'd be the real shame.
Yes, agreed.
So we flash forward 300 years, and we introduce Max Dennison, played by Omri Katz, our main character, L.A. kid, and, you know, doesn't get all these folk messages. He's your typical cool kid from L.A.
Hollywood.
Yeah, he's a Hollywood kid. And he makes a very weird, sudden move on a girl in his class.
I still don't get
Allison. It's so weird.
It's so uncomfortable.
It is. He's just like, she just, like, shows him up about Halloween, and he's just like, yeah, but here's my number.
Yeah, tell Jimi Hendrix I said hello.
Yeah, and it's like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. That part always made me feel really, like, weird
watching. Yeah, it's like most of the stuff I think is really weird happens in this, like, beginning stage of the movie.
Yeah.
Like I get that he has, like, a crush. He's literally, like, doing some weird things with his pillow over it.
Yeah, you're so soft.
And I'm like, oh, Allison, you're so soft. Would the guy who is saying that in his room really have the confidence to just waltz up in class? She hasn't dismissed class, not, like, at a locker. It's like he's interrupting class to be like, hey, here's my number.
Yeah. I don't think so. Him down.
Yeah.
Trick or treat. And she's like, boom.
And he's like, oh, sad face.
Yeah.
I will say, I remember having the biggest crush on Allison when I was a little kid. She was cool. She was really cool.
And she's cool. And I'll talk a little bit more about this later when we get into some more scenes. She is the brains of, like, this entire movie. Max is utterly useless.
He doesn't really do anything.
She has all the ideas for all the major, like, things that they do to try to kill the witches.
That's why I thought she was just, like, the coolest thing when I was a little kid. And then my favorite thing, we run into two bullies. We're following Max on his way home, and we run into bullies. Who are they intimidating? They're literally Bulk and Skull.
So
from the Power Rangers. One of them looks like James Franco with, like, short blonde hair. And they're, like... He, like, just makes fun of them for 10 seconds. Then they're like, hey, we're going to take your shoes. And they take your shoes. I'm like, these guys are the least intimidating bullies in movie history.
I know. That's a great scene, though.
It's so funny. Maybe you
learn to breathe through your nose.
Yeah.
It's, like, one of my favorite lines.
The setup of this movie is just a lot of weird scenes kind of cobbled together. We get Max. He goes home and he starts doing weird things with his pillow. And he's still being his typical, like, I don't like this town and all their superstitions, blah, blah, blah. And then his little sister, Danny, who's already, she's bought the folklore hook, line, and sinker. She's already in costume.
Yep.
At, like, after school is over. So she must have, like, either worn that costume to school or came home and was like, gotta be a witch now.
Yeah.
And she's played by Thora Birch. I think she was, like, the one person who really, like, had some kind of a career after this movie besides the witches, because they're all fantastic.
Well, she's fantastic. Yeah.
I heard a funny story where she was going to be named Thor if she was a guy.
Oh, my God.
But then when she was a girl, they're like, well, Thor-ah. I guess, works. Yeah. And she actually won an award for this movie. She won a Young Actors Award,
really?
I believe. Well, Vanessa Shaw, who played Allison, was nominated for the same award and lost. Scandal.
How old was she, do you know?
She was born in 82, so she was 11. And she plays an 8-year-old, so I guess that's, you know, that's not crazy.
No.
Max is forced to take Danny trick-or-treating because she literally screams the top of her lungs. I was watching this movie on my PS4 with my headphones on. I had to, like, throw my headphones off. Because she just, like, screams that, yes, you're taking her trick-or-treating. The trick-or-treating scene is so weird, too, because we have the bully's second appearance. Danny's just like, oh, you won't mess with me because of my big brother.
I love that.
And then they're like, oh, it's Hollywood.
He's a little leaguer.
Yeah.
Like, you are not helping the situation at all.
Yeah, this is bad. Yeah, this is bad. I always think that's so weird. I mean, granted, I think it's because I never had a little sister, but the little sister in these movies always just drags the older brother into, like, these weird situations where she's just being a jerk, and that's just all there is to it. It's just weird.
He was kind of jerky, too, though.
Oh, he was an asshole the whole movie, pretty much.
And he's so dramatic in that scene.
Yeah.
You just embarrassed me in front of half the guys at school. There's, like, four people.
There's, like, four people. Two of them are the bullies who you already hate.
Took your shoes.
So do you really care what they think?
Seriously.
One of my favorite things that makes no sense to me is Max says, all right, Danny, you embarrassed me. We're going home. And then Danny goes to the first bush she can find, falls in it, and starts crying her eyes out.
Yeah.
Max comes out and consoles her, and then she's laughing another 2 seconds later. It's the most, like, over-the-top dramatic scene. He just, like, did a weird, like, sorry face. And she's like, funny, I'm okay now. I wasn't just crying my eyes out.
Yeah, seriously.
And then we go to Allison's house, and they're having, like, a posh 1690s colonial party.
First of all, who just walks into somebody's house?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it looks like these people are having a party.
Yeah, so, let's go in. And, like, I can see the trick-or-treating bin is there, but usually when it's, like, the take-one bin, they put them, like, on the porch or something. You walk up on the step. Yeah, there's no sign saying, oh, come in, have yourself a piece of candy or whatever.
Yeah, and what are the chances?
It's Allison's house. Oh, my God. Dressed in the most over-the-top costume. Think of how much money the costume department had to go through to get an entire room full of old-time colonial costumes. How much work went into that for a 40-second scene.
Seriously, they're they're not really in there.
They're not. Long. They're just in there. You can see in the background people in the colonial garb, like, you know, like, ha ha ha, aren't we posh, you know.
Worst part about this scene is when she gives them cider, and you can clearly see when Max goes to drink that there's nothing in the cup.
Yep.
And it makes me so mad because the camera angle is an empty cup, and he's like, oh, yum, it's good.
My favorite awful part about that scene is where Danny references the fact that Max likes Allison's boobs. And
her yabos
is what she says. She says, oh, I couldn't rock that costume, Allison. I don't have the yabos. And, you know, Max chokes. And she's like, Danny goes, Max really likes your yabos. And, like, they have that look at each other, that, like, awkward, flirty, like, oh, that was sweet. Your little sister just said this guy likes your boobs.
None of that is sweet. But you guys, okay, take your candy. You can leave now. And go back to my weird party.
She's literally been here 20 seconds and already referenced her boobs. That's a strike. That's a red flag in a lot of books.
And she throws them out under the bus.
Yeah.
Like, I always take her. My mom made him.
Yeah. Like, oh. It's like he's trying to win Danny brownie points with this girl. And all you've done is throw him under the bus and talk about her boobs.
Typical
sister. When I was rewatched this movie, I did not remember that scene. And I heard that and I went, that can't be referencing what I think it means, right? And I went on Google and I typed in yabos. And yes, it means
yabos
boobs. Yabos are boobs. I never, outside of that movie, have heard that
pretty
term.
Cheeky
for a Disney movie, definitely. And then we go from that scene where Max is like, hey, I don't believe in witch stuff. How about we go to the witch place right now? Why don't you prove to me witch stuff exists? I don't know how Allison thinks she's going to convince Max of witch stuff just by going there. He's just going to be like, it's a house with stuff in it. But she's like, hey, cool, I'll change out of this colonial garb that cost $1,000 or whatever.
Yeah, that I only wore
for two seconds.
So we can, will miss me, that's what she says.
Yeah, so we can just go to this witch place. The beginning of this movie is just so weird. And then once we get to the witches, it's all gold, pretty much. Because the three of them are what makes this movie. So we go to the cottage, the Sanderson sisters' house. We see the museum setup version of their house. We see the book with the eye that's behind glass, which no one like peel up the eye to see, like, hey, there's an eye in this book. That's weird. But if they have the book behind glass, why isn't the black flame candle behind glass?
That's a good question.
That's
seriously
the more dangerous thing. That is what will bring them back to life.
And how long has this place been abandoned? Because it
doesn't
seem like it should have been that long ago. Because
she's, like, Allison says, like, her mom used to work there. And it's like, what, 8 years ago?
Yeah. But, like, it's covered in cobwebs.
Yeah. It's literally like a party store threw up in that.
Yeah.
In that room.
Like, it couldn't have been that long ago. And there's just all these lighters convenient that still work.
Yeah.
It's there under the cobwebs.
There's another IMDb trivia fact where the lighter that Max uses actually requires fuel, like, almost every time you use it, essentially. So there's no way he could have just picked it up and lit it instantly. And he becomes really good with that lighter. It's like, you know, like the flicking it and all that other stuff. He's wielding it like a butterfly knife or something, just like flipping it around. Binks, for his part, he finally shows back up. He's a terrible guard of this cottage. Granted, I don't think he has an astrology book with him, but he could have plotted, okay, next full moon, Halloween is 15 years from now. I just got to make sure everything's perfect for this one night.
Like, he let them get in.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure before they got to the door, if he ran in front of them, like, I want to go home.
Yeah, and they would have left. Or even, like you said, Binks can talk. What if he just said, hey, don't light that candle, it's real.
Yeah, seriously, don't. I'm Thackeray.
I'm Thackeray Binks, it's real, get away. Because even if Max doesn't believe Allison, he's probably going to believe a talking cat.
How could you not?
Yeah. We have a cat in this room, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Lana. Say hi to the microphone. Lana's asleep.
She's here.
But if this cat said something to me, I don't care what it is, I'm believing it.
Wouldn't he also kind of want somebody to go and light the black flame candle? Because if that never happened, he would still be stuck as a cat.
See, I'm not sure if he knows that if the witches are killed, he can pass on. And I also think he might just think that's too big of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if the witches come back and they can get all the children in Salem in that one night? Then guess what? Now there's witches here forever, and now there's going to be messing things up forever. So I think he might be saying it's just too big of a risk.
Good point.
And then Max lights the candle, which has has a weird, it actually does have a black flame. The house shakes and we have that weird light under the floorboards effect.
Yeah.
And then they walk in the front door, which I think is weird. Our three witches finally back from 1693.
That rat tail is still there. That gets me every time she reaches up. It's the same spot I left it 300 years ago.
Nobody
cleaned this place.
Allison's mom was a terrible caretaker too. She didn't clean a rat tail up when she found it. Terrible.
Seriously.
Terrible.
And yeah, I always wondered like how they got there so fast. Okay, like I understand it was a magic spell and they're just like there. But and also, were there spirits like in the cottage listening? Because Max says it's just a bunch of hocus pocus. Mm-hmm. He likes it. And that returns in like,
yeah, she says that later and she wasn't there to hear
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So now I'm wondering.
Also, I would have thought that if the black flame candle gives them their powers and they're connected to this house, I was confused why they came in the front door. I would have thought they'd either materialize like out of the flame.
Here.
Or they'd be appear in the house. Mm-hmm. Why did they appear somewhere else and come in? Why
maybe because they were killed out there? That's where they were.
They came back to the spot they were killed. Because they were killed like right outside their house.
That could be it.
Yeah, they just built a hangman's gallows in 10 minutes after they found them. So maybe that's what it is.
They're like,
bring out the gallows. We're going to need three for this one. You know, it's like. One thing that I thought was really clever that wasn't really played as much as I thought it was going to be is Dani initially takes credit for lighting the black flame candle, which I think is so clever because she's dressed like a witch. I was wondering when you would appear, sisters. I was like, yes, smart girl, go full out. Pretend you're a witch as long as you can take this. And they take it 15 seconds.
Now, Mary can smell too.
Yeah, they were just like, no, you're a child, you're not a witch. I was like, can't you be a child witch?
Like, we're going to eat you. Yeah, they were children once, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I would assume.
They talk about mother all the time.
They could, she could be a child witch. I would have thought that would be a really cool sort of direction to go. Like, she's tending to be a witch the whole time. But
that would be cool.
Yeah.
But then, and then they go to eat her, which is interesting.
Yeah.
They're not sucking her soul out, but they don't have the potion.
Yeah, they don't have the potion yet. Wouldn't they store her away somewhere like they did with Emily while they made the potion?
Yeah, they go to throw her right in the cauldron.
They just became Hansel and Gretel all of a sudden. But they managed to do some shenanigans. Max comes up with his plan of pretending he has magic powers with the lighter, and he lights under the sprinkler to cause the burning rain of death, I believe he calls it. And that rains down. They clearly know they're not getting burned for the first 10 seconds, but they still panic and run under
the
thing.
They still run.
They're like, no.
Which I love that.
Yeah, I love how earnest they all are in all their reactions.
He makes fire with his hands.
He makes fire with his hands. And then they're like getting rained on. They go, oh, no. And they have to run away. Same thing later with the headlights that they use. They just instantly are like, yep, that's what that is. I believe this. Like I said, once they show up, it's the movie. We're here. The movie's great now, guys. Because Binks joins up with the crew and he says, nice going to Max. Finally says words for the first time as a cat.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Binks.
300 years later.
Yeah, he could have done a lot more than this, but whatever. And he instantly takes them to a cemetery because that's hallowed grounds. And we'll get back to that because that's a weird plot point later.
Yeah.
Where witches can't set foot there. As a film writer, usually you follow the protagonist throughout the entire thing, and there's like a subplot that usually, if it's not the protagonist's subplot, it's some other close character to the protagonist. But we have full sequences with the three witches, and they're just all gold. They see a road, which they walked in from outside the house, so wouldn't they have seen the road already? Unless they're in the yard. But then they see the road, and they think it's some kind of black river,
and
they just chuck sour out onto it.
Which, honestly, I probably would have done the same thing.
Probably.
She, if anything, is the least useful of
She's very ditzy.
Yes.
And hilarious. Granted, they have to put up with her because she's the only one who can, like, summon all the children later. Because she's good with that. But Winnie literally chucks her out into the Black River and they realize, oh, it's a road. And they start doing that huffing.
That walk
back and forth.
Their skirts up. Yeah. Love it.
Oh, that's so good. And I forget if this scene happens here, but one of my favorite things, just because, again, this is a Disney movie. I would not expect it from a Disney movie, is they see a bus pulls up to them. They're like, what is this contraption? He goes, I call it a bus.
Mm.
Oh, I could take you to your wildest desires. And they say, we want children. And the bus driver says, well, it may take me a couple tries, but I'll see what I can
He's
do.
He's so gross.
He's so weird. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then, like, when Sarah's, well, I mean, she is, like, sitting on his lap driving the bus. He's like, did anybody ever tell you you're very easy on the eyes?
Yeah, like, it's like, so that's so gross. Like, I would not expect a line about making children in that way in a Disney movie, but it's hilarious.
And it went apparently completely over the witch's head.
So yeah, they were like, they're like, oh, cool, well, take us to the children. So we go to the cemetery and Binks gives his sort of speech, which it seems like he spent more time preparing his speech than he did preparing stopping the Black Flame candle from being lit. So he brings them to his sister's grave and gives them the story of the Sandersons. Winnie brings back, oh, I forgot his name, I can't
remember.
Billy Butcherson. She uses her magic, since she can't go on the hallowed grounds, she summons her old boyfriend and also Sarah's fling, ex-fling, and the Billy Butcherson, played by Doug Jones, who is... he's the tall, lanky guy under makeup in every movie, essentially. He's in Pan's Labyrinth. He's the Pale Man. He's Fano / the Pale Man in Pan's Labyrinth. He's Abe Sapien in Hellboy. Basically, if you see a movie with some guy who's really tall and skinny under 10 pounds of makeup, it's probably Doug Jones. He's really good at that. And he's great in this movie, too. His mouth has been sewn shut by Winnie so that she couldn't say his secrets even in death. Binks says it's great. And he just kind of chases them around. He's the stooge for a while for the Sandersons. Just like running around chasing them to the next plot point, essentially.
Yeah. But I feel like he's also kind of chasing them, keeping an eye on them. He just wants to get their attention so he can tell them, like, I'm on your side.
Spoilers again.
Yeah. Sorry.
We'll get to that scene, but his last scene is absolutely hilarious. I love it. But he chases them out of the cemetery, back onto the street. Oh, that's when the bus thing happens, because the bus, as Sarah's driving on the bus driver's lap, runs over Binks.
Yes.
And they're instantly 100% back to tears. And Binks just kind of pops back to life and is like, well, I told you, I can't die. I think it's so weird how she goes right to tears, right out of tears again.
And again, Max had Smeets a scene all about him. It's like, this is all my fault. Comfort me. Allison's like, it's not you, Max. Don't worry. Like,
it is you, Max. It is you, Max.
It's you. It's always been you.
You lit the candle. You suggested going to the house. It's all your fault. And then we have a bunch of weird scenes with the witches, where the witches see Satan. So they see Master.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
They've never apparently seen the devil when they spent 300 years in the hell.
Yeah.
Believe this old guy dressed up as the
devil. Yeah, and the devil just screaming, like, ha 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 ha, with candy. And they, what doesn't make sense to me too, the devil like says, hey, come on in the house, whatever. It's not like he's throwing a party or anything. It's just him
and his wife. Medusa, who clearly doesn't want visitors.
Why'd you even have them over? And apparently, according to IMDb, I'm pretty sure the person who's the devil, and yes, they are brother and sister.
Who?
The devil and Medusa.
Ew.
Yeah.
Kind of like weirded me out.
Yeah. Strange.
Yeah, that whole scene is very odd.
In the movie, I think they're supposed to be husband and wife, but in real life, they're brother and sister.
Like, I don't like, and then he's dancing with Sarah. With Sarah. In the middle of the living room. Like nothing.
Kind of creepy old guy who's like, this hot girl wants to dance with me. Cool. While he's in his house with his wife, who's just upstairs.
Who lost 5 pounds, by the way.
Who did lose 5 pounds.
He didn't even acknowledge that.
Nope. So. He just says, wow, I can have 5 seconds of happiness right now. Yes, I'll take it.
They call me Master.
Yeah. They call him, I don't care what they call you.
Yeah, she's like, wait till you see what I'm going to call
A lot of times men in movies are just completely blinded by anytime like boobs happen, they're just like, what?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, there's some humorous points to that scene though. I love when Mary's watching the TV and the
she's just like
in the walker and she's like, yeah.
She just thinks it's absolute magic.
Yeah, but then Ralph comes, menacing, scary
the
dog.
The Satan.
Yeah.
The little tiny dog. Oh my God. And
they've never seen dogs, I guess.
I guess. I mean, dogs existed in colonial times, I think.
So I don't know what types they had.
Maybe not that kind of dog, but maybe I'm totally wrong too. I also love that when they go outside, they're completely confused because Mary smells children everywhere, but all they see are these little skeletons and little people running around. They're like, I can't see the kids anywhere. It's almost like, you know, Halloween, you know, the whole principle of dressing up worked in this situation. Yeah. And they're like, no, all these kids are running around. Halloween is just a day of play for these people. Like, those things are always so much fun. The witches always have an uncanny ability to know where the kids are. They never say, I think they're going here, or, hey, due to magic, I know where they're going. They just always end up there.
They just, like, sniff them out, I guess.
Maybe, but there's a lot of children in town. Maybe they have a specific sense, but I didn't hear her say that either.
I was thinking that, too. Like, they just seem to show up. Yeah,
they have, like, a very particular scent or something. Because they go to the party next. Yeah. That's the next sequence.
Best scene in the movie, possibly my favorite scene of all time. Oh, it's
so good. They try and convince their parents, Max and Danny do. They're trying to convince their parents that the Sandersons are after them. And of course, they don't believe them because it's a horror movie. And it's also really stupid to believe that.
I honestly probably wouldn't believe my kid the first time they told me something like that.
It's a weird thing in horror movies. Everyone's always like, oh, they don't believe the kids. I believe. It's like, in real life, if someone told you any of these horror movie things these kids try and lay on them, you wouldn't believe them either. It's like, leave them alone on this one.
The cat is talking to me right now.
Yeah, I don't. Which again, Binks, if you spoke up at this moment.
Seriously. Like, no, it's actually true.
No, it's true. Their witches are after him. Here's a talking cat. Binks can talk, but never when you need him to talk.
Seriously, and he never shuts up when you don't
want him to talk. Oh my God. Terrible. Stupid Binks.
Seriously.
That's a joke. I mean, that's a lie. Binks is cool. Binks is great.
Thackeray, whom I thought was Zachary when I was little.
Yep, and it's Thackeray. Thackeray Binks. Yeah, it's more old-timey.
Mm-hmm. Fun to say.
Yeah. But we have the scene where Winnie sees a person singing, saying, I put a spell on you. And she just has herself a little idea, like the little, I can't say a face on a podcast, doesn't work like that. When Max tries to out the sisters on stage, she starts breaking into, I put a spell on you. And I just, it's the greatest part.
It's perfect.
It's great.
They've been dead for 300 years, so they've had a lot of time to choreograph this.
Yes.
That's the best part, that they have dance moves and backup,
yeah, they have the backup. They have the backup vocals. They are on key. They're on rhythm with this song that they've never heard of before.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, so she heard that for 2 seconds.
Yep, and she's just like
instantly.
Maybe she's just has a musical ear. You know, she might very well.
All witches have different powers.
Have powers. Maybe hers music.
Surprised it wasn't Sarah who led the whole thing.
Yeah, because she's the singing one.
Honestly, that's the only version of that song that I want to listen to.
Yep, I have been abusing that YouTube video over this season, just constantly on YouTube, just like, I need to hear it one more time.
Me too. And I only watch the video, I don't watch like a lyric video of it, I watch the actual scenes.
Yeah, because where they dance, you know, back and forth, it's just...
And that ending pose that they strike, we just did it.
Yes, we just did it.
And we did it on point.
And that one, that moment's for us to share, you guys can't have it, so... Winnie, this is a plot point that I feel like should have been brought up between the kids more frequently. Mm-hmm. Winnie uses the song to cast a spell, telling all the adults to dance until they die. We're going to put a pin in that and be right back.
Yes.
Okay? Because the next sequence, again, the witches just kind of know where they're going. They go to the school. And the school has a lot of weird stuff about it, too. Because the school, the intro I did about Boris Karloff Jr., that's what Max says over the loudspeaker, mm-hmm. which they can just get into school, no problem.
That's what I was thinking.
Get into the principal's office.
Unlocked.
Get to the microphone. It's like, why? I love the fact that, you know, the witches are like, it's a prison for children.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
You know,
kind of.
Technically.
Again, really funny. They're so great. And then they go into to the school, and he gives this, you know, welcome to high school hell. I am your host, Boris Karloff Jr. But if they can hear your voice, they know it's not. They know it's you, Max. Yeah. And Thackeray, you know, Thackeray Binks, walks out at one point. So the witches can be like, okay, that's Binks.
Wait, does he? I think I missed
that. He has one moment where he just walks really quickly, and they're just still doing their, you know, like, shuffle walk. So you've gone to this school trying to trick them, and the first thing you've done is say, okay, Max is where the microphone is. He's talking, and Binks is over here. And they lure them into
the boiler room, I guess.
The high school we went to did not have much in the way of arts and crafts. But I feel like that was a kiln for molding. I mean, for,
pottery.
For pottery. Yeah. Yes, a kiln. It's a weird word to pronounce.
Yeah, I've just, like, never heard kiln. Of that.
Yeah. They get them in the kiln, which is where you put pottery to, to set, essentially, to like heat it up, and they trap them in there and burn them alive, which I guess burn at the stake, which is makes sense. Wow, that kiln is dangerous. Holy crap.
Yeah.
To be at a school, holy shit.
I know.
They just get the witch in there, like, okay, turn it on, and now instantly flames shoot up, like, right in front of the door, which they trap them in there with
some kind of French,
some kind of French audio, trying to tell people how to say, I want my book in French or whatever, or I have a book from the library, and they say it in French or whatever, which we never said. At the very beginning, when they leave the house, they steal the spell book. That's why they can't make the potion right away and just say, screw them, we'll get more kids later. We have the spell book. They steal that. So the witches are constantly trying to get the spell book so they can bring it back, make the potion, and then lure the kids. Which again, as far as upkeep at the house, all their ingredients are out. They're not behind glass. All of their Eye of Newts.
The same dead man's toe.
Same dead man's toe. Bowl of dead people toes. Like, weren't claimed by evidence or...
Yeah, like, why would they keep those
there? I don't know. Like, I think that would have been more interesting where they have the spell book, but all their dead people ingredients have been taken, so they have to go and get them. Instead of running around with the book all the day, they actually have to stop them from getting their ingredients. The kiln burns the witches alive, and they all celebrate outside. Woo, yay, we burn witches to death.
Which, you know, it's not over.
Of That's course. It's easy. 2/3 into the movie. We're at the false climax sequence.
That, like, purple light that's just, like, came up
out
the... Like, that's not normal.
Yeah, it just came out of, like, a chimney or something.
Yes.
It's a very craftsy high school, apparently, so it would have been nice.
But again, all Allison's idea. Mm-hmm. Good idea. Thank you, Allison. Max is just going to cry in a corner.
Yeah. He was just okay with running around with the book all day. Just being like, all right, we're just going to keep running and eventually it'll run out.
Eventually it'll be daylight.
Yeah, whatever. So they run home saying, yes, we did it. And Danny gives a speech to Binks about how, oh, you'll just be our cat forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Which won't be weird.
No.
Why hasn't this cat died?
No, whatever.
And why is he talking?
The most bizarre piece of trivia I read about this movie. When they're doing their dancing, Max and Binks are talking. You have the clip where you go to Danny and Allison celebrating and, like, dancing or whatever. In the background, you can see...
Like a fountain?
Like, kind of like a fountain, I guess. It's the same one from the Friends intro.
Is it really?
It's the same one from the Friends intro.
Oh, gosh. Where they're all in there. Yeah. Totally changes that scene for me.
Yeah, so there you go, guys. That's where we have that pin I said about the party. We're coming back to it right now.
Yes.
Because they come home and Max just goes, oh, must still be partying.
Yeah, did you not hear her say dance until you die?
Clearly, because Bink still exists, their spells haven't been undone. Clearly. Like, yes. That's certifiable evidence right there with Binks. He just goes, oh, still be partying. That's cool. It's like 2 a.m. or whatever at this point.
Which, by the way, Allison just goes to his house at 2 a.m. and stays there all
night.
What are your parents doing?
Yeah, they really not going to miss you that much?
Yeah, like, they don't care, right?
No.
Very concerned about Allison and her home life, actually.
She is such a weird character. She has no backstory except that she lives here in this town, and she's super into witch and folklore. And all we know about her family life is her mom was a terrible caretaker at the Sanderson house, and they throw weird old-timey Halloween colonial parties.
Yeah, which sounds like no fun.
That sounds like no fun.
Somebody invited me to a caution party like that, I would
not. No. It's Halloween. Have some fun. Throw some witches and zombies and skeletons. Yeah. Cool stuff. That's what Halloween's all about. But no, would they just have colonial parties, work at houses? Oh, yeah.
And cider.
There's that line where Danny's like, no, she's going to offer a cider.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you guys want a glass of cider?
And Danny goes, no. And then Max says, yes.
Yeah, I want cider. I want cider because you gave it to me.
I want fake cider. I want to pretend.
We have cider. Oh. I want cider right now.
I would go for some.
I had cider yesterday, and it was the first glass cider I had all season. Shame on me.
Where'd you get it?
East Providence Library. They were doing a book sale, and I went
there.
Really? Yeah, and they literally were like, here, have some cake bits and cider. And
that's
I was like,
so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was so nice. I got, like, a bunch of Stephen King books while I was there.
So I saw your post.
Yeah. Follow me on Instagram, @professionalhorror. I'll do that at the end. After Danny has said, we're going to keep you forever and ever to Binks, and Max and Allison have a weird... Their relationship makes no sense. In this movie, makes no sense. They argue at the beginning over whether or not the folklore is real. Allison says, no, for your weird move of giving her his number. Then she's like, yeah, cool, we'll go to the witch house. Then they've been running around fighting witches, and now they're, like, sleeping together.
Now they're cuddling.
Yeah, now they're cuddling together. Again, what's Allison, what's she like?
What, yeah, Yeah.
What are you, Allison? Yeah.
What is your life? Oh my gosh. And is that like directly after the scene? Why do they go downstairs to get the salt? They're looking for something in the cupboard.
Yeah.
I can't remember what.
You know, she says, I'd feel better walking home if I had some salt.
Okay.
Because Allison has all the ideas. She goes, I know salt circles protect you from witches and stuff.
And then he makes another weird move on her.
Yeah, he's like, what's it say? And she goes, to ward against witches, zombies, and ex-boyfriends. And he's like, what about new boyfriends?
And she's like,
he's got it. She just has like a little like spark to him. Like they don't even have scenes of like flirty looks to each other.
No.
My favorite movie of all time is Aliens. Okay. I love it to pieces. And I remember always thinking, as much as I love that movie, I always thought Ripley and Hicks, who are a thing at the end of the movie, how they were kind of thrown together. And one time I rewatched it, I realized before that there was like 5 or 6 moments when it was the bunch of them where they just had moments of like close-up looks at each other. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we're at least setting up the fact that Hicks is like, I think you're kind of cute. And Ripley's like, I think you're kind of cute too.
Yeah, and this is kind of like missing a little bit.
It's just missing those moments of, hey, we're kind of both into each other, right? As opposed to just
Max
being like, hey, what are you doing? Again, before Allison leaves, it's 4 a.m. or something. Max pokes his head into his parents' room and goes, oh, not here yet.
Oh, stupid Max.
Max, what are you doing? Your parents don't party till 4 a.m.
When have they ever done that?
I don't even know your backstory, but I can guarantee you they don't party till 4 a.m. usually.
And I could tell just by the way his dad yelled at him for saying sucks that they're not party people.
They're not party people. At the very end, like his dad is lying and was like, oh, I thought L.A. was a party town. But I'm like, you probably didn't even know.
Like, you didn't even know what you were doing.
No. Max just doesn't care about his parents, essentially. I will say, a lot of horror movies struggle with the fact of why don't they call the police? Why don't they call their parents when their kid's involved? Having every parent in town dancing till they die, brilliant. It's a way to just say, parents are out of the equation. Yep. Don't worry about them. They can't help you. And they have that scene with the cop where they talk to the cop earlier in the movie where he's like, you got to help us. And he's like, you lit the black flame candle. And they have this thing where he's just like, you guys are just pulling my chain. Get out of here. And he's not a cop. It's a Halloween costume.
Yeah, but he brilliant. Answers them. Too, yeah. Which made me laugh. Because what if it was a real emergency? He's like, please help us. My first thing would be like, oh, I'm not a cop.
I'm not a cop.
This guy's like, right.
Look, yeah, and then his girlfriend comes out and goes, they thought I was a real cop. And she just thinks that's hilarious.
She just
cackles. Yeah, she's like, ha, so funny.
Costume, whatever she's supposed to be.
She's weird looking in that.
That's a good scene. It's really quick.
Yeah, there's a lot of those fun scenes in this movie. Like, I know we're throwing a lot of shade on this movie, but don't think I don't cherish this movie to my bones.
No, seriously. Love it. I started watching this, like, August 2nd, I think, this year. That's how, like, anxious I was for Halloween. So, favorite movie.
Exactly. There was some point around that time, too, where I was like, I didn't watch it, but I put a spell on you, and I'm like, okay.
All right.
It's fall. Let's go. Like that and like Monster Mash and stuff like that.
Oh, I've been playing that in my car like constantly.
Yeah. Like I used to work at a Party City during Halloween. It was not a fun job.
I was about to say that sounds awesome, but then I took it back.
It doesn't. It has its moments, but one of the things is during Halloween, they start throwing in some spookier songs on the radio. So like Monster Mash, whenever that came out, I was like, yes, let's go. It's Halloween. And then I was like, no, you're at work.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not fun.
It's not fun anymore. They did the Monster Mash.
Yes.
The witches come back to life from the kiln. Their smoke comes back in through the chimney. It's like a reverse shot. It's like where they shot it and then they play it in reverse. And I think it's so funny. Winnie comes out and she just starts speaking in French. Like, I want my book. It was great. All their costumes just like a little ashy. They're not like any worse for the wear. And then they go back to their house because they abduct the bullies. Yeah, because... They're walking past and the bullies are like, hey, you want to go look at windows, see girls changing? And they're like, it's 3 a.m. They're all changed. They're all in bed. It's like, well, what do you want to do? And then they see the witches and they're like, why is it always the ugly chicks who stay out this late?
And it's not even chicks. That's what she says. She doesn't like that term.
Yeah. Chicks.
Love it.
These bullies are not intimidating. They would just snatch. Like, they say that, and next scene, they're in bird cages.
I would love to see how they got them to the house, by the way. Like,
that would be great.
Did they drag them?
Did they do spells to them?
I would love to see that.
Pull them kicking and screaming? Just, no,
I love that they're in the cages. So yeah. I guess when you get ice.
Yeah. And then, because that leads to Winnie is trying to remember the potion off the top of her head. And she's like, dead man's toes.
Chungs.
Dead man's chungs. Dead man's, she can't remember it. So she calls out to the book to like reveal itself. And Allison, for all the good she does in this movie, does the big mistake of the movie. Mm. Well, one big mistake. Max does like 10 more worse.
Max is the mistake.
Allison opens the book to say, hey, maybe we can find a spell to make Binks not a cat forever, which none of them are witches, so I don't know if they just feel like anyone can do magic.
Just read it. Yeah.
None of them notice the giant orange light coming up from the book either.
Pretty noticeable. I think pretty that's noticeable. Something I might notice.
Yeah, they're like, huh. This book is glowing quite ferociously.
And Binks did warn them, nothing good can come from that book, Allison.
And Allison, one mistake. Seriously. So Binks closes and says, yep, no good will come from this book. And that's when the scene happens where they get the salt and they're about to go upstairs. The witches don't just abduct Danny and Binks and the book. They plot a whole horror movie reveal.
Yeah.
Max pulls Danny's sheet off and it's Sarah.
Love
and they go back and they open up the closet. I think it's the same closet that Danny hid in at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And Danny's there again with the book and Binks and Marion and Winifred.
And correct me if I'm wrong, isn't there a huge hole in his ceiling now in that scene? Like, don't they fly out?
No, they just get, it's weird, they sneak in through the window.
Okay.
Like, you see like a little nail like dragging down like the screen.
Right. Yeah.
And in like 4 minutes, they're able to just get through the window, all of them, go in, set up that elaborate plot reveal. And they zap Max across the room, which Winnie should be doing that more often. That seems to be a really effective move. But Allison, of course, having an idea, she does the salt circle around all about him and Max. And I always thought growing up, Max has the coolest room. Because he has like a weird spiral staircase up to like a balcony, sort of like almost like a church tower, like a bell room without a bell. So he has like 4 windows all around. I thought that was the coolest thing.
I agree. I don't think I'd be complaining about moving that house.
No, that's a cool room.
Salem, maybe I'm biased just because I love Salem.
Yeah,
I love
spooky
England,
stuff.
But
that's a really cool place, but it's not anymore because as they leave, they explode the top of the house off. And they say, yep,
that's
it's gone. Yeah.
How is that going to explain?
Nope.
Yep. Let's get home.
And now they don't even have the cat to be like, hey, Binks, speak for once to the right people because Binks is gone. So I just could be like, well, we don't know how the top of our house blew up.
Not me.
I didn't do it. We're going back towards the house and Sarah goes off and she starts singing a little song. That was Come Little Children, performed by Kat Wells from the amazing Boys and Ghouls podcast. Thank you, Kat. Follow her at All Hallows Kat on Twitter and Instagram. And listen to the Boys and Ghouls podcast. Boys and Ghouls, did I just say? Boys and Ghouls podcast on iTunes and, you know, wherever podcasts are listened to. Because they're absolutely great. They do lots of research for their episodes. Way more than I do. We try here. We're a one-man team with occasional guests here. We do our best. But yeah, so Sarah goes off to sing that song and all the kids, which should Max and Allison start being under the spell too?
I mean, I don't
it looks like mostly little kids.
Limit.
Yeah, and also because Danny isn't affected by it either.
But Danny's also very, I mean, she doesn't strike me as a gullible kid. But I mean, look at how many children are in the streets. Yeah, I always
maybe it's because she actually is a witch. So she's not affected by magic. What?
Focus, focus too.
What? Where Danny's an evil Sanderson witch? Sign me up.
Yeah, okay, that I would watch.
Yes, sign me up. Cut it, print it. Disney, I'll expect a check in the mail. Thank you. So now they have the book, they can make the potion, and they make the potion, and they're about to give it to Danny when, I think, is this Max's plan or is it Allison's again? I think it might be Max's.
That, is it?
I'm not sure.
I thought it was Al's plan, but I Well, could be wrong.
Max is a jerk, so I'm going to give it the credit to Allison.
Yeah, it was Allison.
Allison's idea. It was a really funny line where he comes in and they're about to feed Danny the elixir for them to steal Danny's life. And Max says, "Oh, I know something you don't." And they're like, "What is that, dude?" And he's like, "Daylight savings time."
And they're like,
"What? What?" And
light. Mary goes, "Daylight
savings time." Yeah, savings time. Mary's so funny in this movie. She's like, she can get lost in the shuffle because.
She's underrated.
Yeah, because Winnie's obviously the greatest Bette Midler, is a queen of all the world. And Sarah Jessica Parker as Sarah is great. But Mary's always just there being constantly funny, and she doesn't get a lot of credit. So we love you here, Mary.
Yes. Team Mary.
So all of a sudden, these orange lights pop through the window. And again, the sisters buy it hook, line, and sinker. They're like, "Oh, no, the sun, we're dead."
To the ground. Yeah. It's like you can't feel that you're not burning.
They're not burning to death.
Stone or anything, like,
yep. Nothing's happening. But it's like, "Oh no, woe is me," and fall backwards.
It was like a Shakespearean death. Like, "I am dying."
Oh no, which is great. So Max is able to get Danny out, and then they take orange tape off of their headlights, which, guess what? That was the way they tricked the witches this time. My voice is getting really hoarse right now. For those of you who are wondering why I sound so weird, I picked October, you know, the month I wanted to record like 8 podcasts to get a sore throat. So.
I hate to see it.
Yep.
It's sore throat season.
So I apologize. So we have a chase sequence on Broom, which is great. You know, Winnie is chasing the kids in their car or whatever. Again, another thing that Winnie shouldn't know about, like the it's all just a bunch of hocus pocus. She goes, "Pull over. I want to see your learner's permit or something."
Yes, she asked that. That always makes,
so
me,
great.
That does make me laugh. Or when she calls him dude.
Yeah.
Even. Like, nobody talked like that when she was alive.
Maybe, I don't remember if maybe one of the bullies says dude and they maybe overhear it. Like, she's picking stuff up from this world, I guess. They literally, like, run Winnie off the road.
Yeah, she's flying.
Yeah, like, where are the other two witches? Where are her sisters to help her out in this time?
And in that scene, Max and Allison share another little, like, loving look. He's like, "Are the witches following us?" And she says,
No.
He's like, "Good." And, like, gives her,
good.
Like, a little,
like, a little,
"I love you." Yeah.
It's like, why?
Like, just stop. They're so cringy. I don't know
why. They're
really
cringy.
I don't like them together.
I don't ship them.
No.
For those who are curious what I think of Max and Allison and Hocus Pocus, I don't ship them.
Yeah. Nope. Nor do I. Anyways, back to
back to things that matter,
yes.
Sort of. They go back to the cemetery because hallowed grounds, smart. And Billy returns. And at that point, when does Billy get the knife? I totally forget when he gets the knife. Part of me thinks it's either at his house or at the witch's house, which either is oddly convenient because it's like a switchblade too. It's not like a knife.
I think I thought it was Max's.
And
Max never pulls a knife on.
No, he just has like a little pocket knife or something.
Yeah.
He just kind of pulls that out at some point, which I don't think he should have been stabbing the sisters, but maybe that could have been useful for something earlier.
Desperate times.
Yeah, Billy finally reemerges. He's kind of a stooge, just kind of like being late to things and not being able to catch the kids. But when he catches Max, who for some reason decides to like hide out in front of the cemetery or right at the doors or something, Billy grabs him, takes the knife, cuts his strings. A little moth,
yeah.
Which... You want to be creeped out? According to Doug Jones, real moths.
Ew.
Real moths in his mouth.
What's that necessary?
He goes all the way with his rolls, I guess.
Oh my god.
Real moths pop out of his mouth. And then he just starts like yelling at Winnie. It's so funny. He was, "You witch." He's like, "I've been waiting 3 centuries to say that."
He's like, "Well, please stop breathing in my face."
Yeah, just say it. Just don't breathe on me. So then instantly Billy just becomes like a new member of the team. Their plan is perfect. They put Danny inside the grave. So they probably couldn't really get her without touching the hallowed grounds. And they put a salt circle around the grave. Perfect idea. But Danny ruins it. Which, by the way, I do want to go back really quick. The whole reason why now, even though they have a bunch of kids going towards the house, a really funny moment is... Winnie wants to just take Danny because she called her ugly.
Yeah, she doesn't even know me.
It really hurt my feelings.
Yeah. That's another good line follows after that. She's like, "I think I'll have a child. On toast.
On toast." Oh my god, it's so good. So even though they have a legitimate, like, bunch of kids coming, and they still have, like, enough for a couple people, like, they said they have enough potion for one, because Max kicks it on the way out, and they probably could make some more, because it looks like they whipped that up in, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So they could make some more, get all those kids, but Winnie is just, like, one track mind, no, I want Danny now, because she's a jerk.
typical horror movie like plots, like when the serial killers or, you know, whatever, evil masterminds explain their entire plan before they murder the good guy, and then it gives them just enough time to get away or to do something. It's like,
you or it's like, they probably could have made Potion suck the life out of all those kids and then been like, okay, now that we're immortal, let's kill those kids we don't like.
Yeah, let's do something bad to them.
Yeah, let's, you know, do some spells on them or something. But no, they're like, we're just going to go after this one kid. But their plan, like I said, their plan's perfect. She's inside, she's under the ground in a salt circle. They can't go in the salt circle, they can't go on the grounds. But as they're all like fighting, each one's like fighting a witch, like Binks, you know, tries to get Claw Winnie. Allison's throwing salt up at Sarah, I believe.
Yep, Sarah.
At one point, they get their broom stolen. So Mary, who's on a vacuum cleaner, not a broom. Billy's, I think, trying to, like, fight her off or whatever. But Winnie kicks Billy's head off. And Danny runs out of the grave to get his head. He's a zombie, Danny. He's okay. Fine.
It happened. He can pick it up.
We saw that earlier in the movie. He's fine.
Typical.
Ugh. But that's just to set up the climax where Winnie has Danny up above the ground. She, you know, dove down and, like, scooped her up because she went out of her perfect hiding spot. But Max has the potion, so he drinks it and says, all right, you have to take my life. You can't take my sister's life or whatever. So, you know, does a noble sacrifice type deal. Makes it all about.
That was the one good thing he did.
Yeah, he was a good brother in that sense right now. So Winnie's like, all right, fine, whatever. I wanted Danny, but I'll take yours instead. Picks Max off the ground. And going back to what I said at the very beginning, I wasn't sure if they were sucking her life out or, like, sucking her youth out to make the little girl older. She gets a couple breaths of Max in. So I would have thought, like, is there a change in Max now? Is he going to die sooner? Is he older now? Like, what's the deal? Is he going to age faster or something? I don't know. While that's happening, the sun is rising, because we have a ticking time element in the background. When the sun comes up, both Mary and Sarah just explode into dust. But Winnie takes, like, a lot longer for some reason.
Winnie falls off the broom.
Yep.
And then she's on hallowed ground. And
yes.
She walks over to him. So
what some people have theorized, her turning to stone before exploding is what happens when a witch steps on hallowed ground.
That's what I said to my mom as we were kind of arguing about this. Yesterday, we get into hocus pocus arguments all the time.
All the time.
So, yeah, I was like, well, maybe that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's also a little thing that's always kind of irked me about the end of the movie.
It's weird, too, because when she turns to dust, to stone the first time, it's clearly a 2D image.
Yeah.
But then when you go take a step away from the close-up, it's a 3D, like, printed statue, which one of the statues is actually, like, at Disney, apparently.
Really?
And I want to see it. They put it out for, like, their Halloween.
Spectacular.
Yeah. I saw a video. They actually do, like, a big Halloween show where they have three people who aren't the original sisters, but, you know, what can you do? Mm-hmm. Playing the witches, and they sing I Put a Spell on You, as, like, before, like, all the fireworks go off and stuff. That would be cool. So all the witches are dead, and now Binks is also, I mean, because this is what Max should have been worried about with the parents the whole time. They don't even mention or think about the parents. Like, I'm concerned that they're not concerned.
Yeah, we've worried about
them. I've worried about them. Like, they're going to dance till they're dead. I don't know how long you can dance till you die, but probably, like, I don't know.
So how long can you last without water? Because you wouldn't be drinking.
It would be 3 days, but you're dancing constantly, so you're going to sweat more.
Yeah.
So it's going to be less time. Maybe, like, I don't know, a day and a half.
Maybe.
They dance for, like, 8 hours straight. They're going to be messed up the next day.
They're probably drinking, too, which means
they're dehydrated. They're dehydrated. They're going to be in bad shape. Some people might have had to go to the hospital in the adult version of this movie, I guess. But we see Thackeray is free of his spell. He doesn't have to be Cat anymore. So, honestly, Binks lucked out in the situation. Said maybe he was saying, hey, maybe I should let this get lit so that I could end up passing on. Maybe he didn't. Maybe that was his plan all along. And he's the true evil mastermind of this movie. Who knows? And we see his sister saying, you know, Thackeray Binks. She's not a particularly gifted actress. Don't want to put out that those, you know, negative vibes or whatever, but, you know, Thackeray Binks and Danny have a really weird thing too. Like, I get from Binks's perspective, it's like, oh, she's 8 years old, just like my sister. But there's this weird thing where, like, Danny is, of course, like, she's completely broken over the fact, like, oh no, this person who I met today, who I thought was gonna be my cat forever and ever, is a ghost now. And he's like, I'll always look after you. And it's like,
on
the cheek. And you're like, you met, like, 8 hours ago.
Yeah, chill.
Chill. Are
just,
they like,
chill.
I don't know. It's weird.
It was almost like she kind of liked him, which is yeah, why like, I guess, she had a crush, you know. But he was a cat for like the
right.
whole time you knew him.
Right, and like, I don't know, I guess younger girls might have crushes on old, on, I was going to say on older guys
yeah.
frequently. Like, I don't know, I was never a girl, so I can't confirm or deny this.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Happens.
Yeah. It's like, I could see that, but it's still weird. Especially from Binks's perspective, to be like, don't worry, I'll keep a watch on you forever.
Yeah.
He's 300 years old. She's 8. That's not cool.
That's crossing the line.
Exactly. I don't ship them either. For anyone listening who's concerned. None of these people should be together.
Messed up.
It's full of some really weird continuity. They're, like I said, the sisters always know where everyone goes. But the witches are just so much fun. Every scene they have is just money. The devil scene, the bus scene.
The banter they have.
The singing. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. The kids are okay. Allison's cool. Danny's cool. Max is kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
But whatever. It happens. For a Disney kids Halloween movie, it's really good.
It is really good. And it'll always be a favorite, no matter how much I complain about it and mm-hmm. pick it apart.
Exactly.
Because I love it.
Sometimes we gotta pick apart the things we love to show, you know, that we acknowledge it has things wrong with it, but we still love it regardless. And that's Hocus Pocus. It's a kids movie. We all grew up on it. We can't hate it too much.
Watch it within mind all that the time. It's a fake movie.
It's a kids movie.
It's based on a true story.
Right.
That I know.
Like, as much as I've talked down to movies before and I've been upset, and I've also said, like, oh, you like that movie, but I also have those movies too. I have those movies that I like without justification from the movie itself, really.
Yeah.
But this one does. This one has a lot of fun, and I really hope that the three sisters come back for another movie. They all want to do it. So the thing I've seen about the sequel, they're always like, oh, they would cost too much. Like, there was salary. A, pay them. They're great.
Yeah.
B, they all really want to do it. They probably wouldn't cost as much as you think. You could probably say, hey, we don't have a lot of money for this. Would you consider taking a little bit less to make it happen? They'd probably say, sure, why not?
And do you know how much that movie would gross if they made a sequel?
Oh my god. Every like 20-something and like early 30s.
From somebody who's a manager at a movie theater,
mm-hmm.
That would be insane.
It would
and
be.
That's what the movie industry needs right now.
Yeah.
A high-grossing Halloween-y movie
mm-hmm.
or just a kids movie in
right.
general.
Right. I love Goosebumps came out in 2015.
Which was good.
I liked Goosebumps a lot. It has issues and I am a Goosebumps fanatic. Love
Red
Goosebumps,
album.
Everything.
Watch
yes, I'm gonna watch Haunted Mask as part of my
nice.
Like at least 4 more times this
season. I have to
watch season.
Night and Terror Tower. I think that's my like guilty pleasure.
Yeah,
Goosebumps.
I watch Goosebumps year round all the time. I love it and I read it. But the movie was a lot of fun. It was a kid's horror movie. It wasn't particularly scary, but it worked for kids and it worked for adults, I think. I enjoyed it.
I agree.
And I think if you make a Hocus Pocus 2 with those three originals and you just say, okay, we're going to do right by this. We're going to have some fun musical numbers.
Mm.
We're going to let you guys banter for a while. It's probably going to be fun. So like, let's make this happen.
Well, and kids these days, like this generation,
kids these days,
they don't really have a movie that's comparable to like Hocus Pocus. Like, what kind of kids horror movies does this generation have?
Not a
Nothing,
lot.
Right?
They have like the 3D animated ones, like Hotel Transylvania, I guess.
Which I did like.
But I feel like a lot of those movies, like trying to think of others, Monster House. All those movies, I feel like, I don't know how popular they are with actual kids. A, because I don't have kids and don't want kids. I try and stay away from kids.
Same.
But I know they're popular with people our age.
Yeah.
People who are 20-somethings. Woo. Because we still can't get enough of that kind of stuff. Like Coraline. Coraline's
Coraline.
Great.
When did that?
That was like,
ago,
that was
right?
a while ago. I feel like 2009. 8 years ago. Yeah.
Still in high school.
Oh my god.
Still in Tolman.
Still in Tolman represents.
Shout out
to Tolman High School, I guess.
Yeah, if we must.
But yeah, we need more kids horror movies, so I think we should Disney get on the fast track to making Hocus Pocus 2.
Please do.
So that was our review and discussion and lots of fun talking about Hocus Pocus with my guest Sarah David. Thank you so much for coming on
Thanks.
The show.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Was there anything you want to, I don't know, shout out, Twitter, Instagram, or anything like that? Become Twitter, Instagram famous from this podcast?
Yeah. Follow me on Instagram, Boats and Hoes.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter at ProHorrorCast or on Instagram at Professional Horror. Probably Instagram is where you want to go. I do that a lot more than Twitter. Or if you have any questions or ideas for new episodes, you can email me at ProfessionalHorror@gmail.com. Once again, I want to give a big shout out to Kat Wells and the Boys and Ghouls crew. So Kat and Marshall, listen to their show. They're great. And we will see you next time with a new, a new thing. You know how we work here. So as always, stay scary, but keep it professional.